Our scripture reading is from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 to 12. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and not let the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. For the one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us give an account of himself to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Jamie. As you've noticed, the past couple of weeks, we've had readers reading our scriptures, and there's a couple reasons why I wanted to do that. First of all, I think it's important that we hear other voices. There are some Sundays where I'm the only voice up here. It's the Randy Bennett Show, and I don't want it to be the Randy Bennett Show, right? So I think it's important that we hear other voices, but also it's important to remind us that worship is not a spectator sport. This is something that we all engage in together, and so participants from the congregation helping in those ways. So if you'd like to be a reader, you don't have to, but if you'd like to, let me know and I'll put you on the schedule. Right now we have, I think, 8 or 9 readers, so it's like once every 2 months. So let me know if that's something that you would like to do. So we're continuing in our series on Romans today, looking at this passage from Romans chapter 14. And I want to talk to you today about mirrors and windows. We all have mirrors and windows in our home, right? And they're both made from a pane of glass. But they have very different functions. With a mirror, you look and you see yourself, and you can make sure that your hair looks nice, or that your makeup looks good, or that you didn't button your shirt wrong. Right? You can see yourself, and you can see that reflection. But with a window, you look and you see through the pane of glass, and you see the outside world. You see your yard, you might see people passing by. And with that window, we look outward. And what Paul is going to encourage us to do, he's going to encourage us to look away from the window and to look at the mirror, to reflect on ourselves. He says, too often we're looking out the window and we're pointing the finger at others and we're judging other people rather than looking at our own selves and our own hearts and what God is calling us to be and to do. Paul here is talking about pride. He doesn't use that word pride, but he's talking about our proclivity to judge others. And when we judge others, we're putting ourselves in the place of God. So Paul begins in those first 4 verses. He says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Not to quarrel over opinions, but welcome him. Paul is encouraging us to welcome one another. Now, we have to remember the context. We've talked about this before, that in the context of the Roman church, The Jews had gone into Rome and they had established the church, and then the emperor expelled all the Jews from Rome. And so the Gentile Christians took over the operations of the church. And then after 6 or 8 years, that emperor died and the Jews came back. And when they came back, there were these conflicts about how to do certain things. What should we eat and what should we not eat and what days are important and do we need to observe important days anyways? And all these different conflicts that were non-essentials, right? We weren't talking about conflicts over who God is or whether or not Jesus was God. Those weren't the kind of things they were talking about. They were talking about these non-essential debates over food and observation of days and things like that. And Paul says to welcome them. Welcome them. And in the Greek, the word that he uses, it's an active verb. It doesn't just mean tolerate them. It means embrace, receive them, welcome them fully. I imagine if you look around the room, there might be a couple people that you just tolerate. You might not agree with the clothes that they wear or what all their beliefs are, but you tolerate them, you put up with them. And God says, I want more than that for you. I want you to not just tolerate these people, I want you to welcome them, embrace them, receive them in love. And why? If we continue on in those first few verses, he says, let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. If God has received and welcomed and embraced that person, who are you? Who am I to not welcome them? Who am I to pass judgment? Imagine walking into somebody else's house and disciplining their child. How well would that go? You're visiting somebody's house and their kid does something that you don't approve of and you take me and bend them over your knee and you spank them. Not going to go well, is it? This is what Paul is saying. He's saying these believers, they're not your children. They're God's children. They're not your children to discipline and to correct. They're God's children. And let God do what God does best. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Paul continues in verses 5 through 9. And he talks about the day. He says, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. And he says, none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. He says, it's not important what you do with these non-essential things, it's important that you do them to the Lord, that you do them to honor God with your life. If you feel a conviction that you need to do something, then do it, and do it out of that conviction, not out of some belief that you've got all the answers and everybody else hasn't figured it out yet. Right? But we live our lives to the Lord. That's the guiding principle, whether or not we're living to the Lord. Our convictions are not about superiority. It's not about I'm better than you because I have certain convictions that you don't. Our convictions are about sincere devotion to who God is calling us to be. Pride creeps in when we're more concerned with being right than being faithful. When we're more concerned that we've got the right answer than we are concerned with, I'm living my life to the Lord. I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm living the way that God has called me to live. Well, from time to time, we provide meals for one another. We do this when somebody has suffered a loss or if somebody's been in the hospital. And we provide meals for families. It's one of the things that we do to care for one another. Now, one person might show up and bring a simple chicken noodle soup to that family, while somebody else might show up and bring a gourmet 5-course meal. Does that family think that one of those meals is worth more than the other? No, they accept both because they've been given in love and grace. It's not that the 5-course meal is better than the soup or the soup is better than the 5-course meal. It's the heart behind what was given. It's the compassion that comes along with it. It's about the love, not the recipe. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in Romans chapter 12. Paul said, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment." He knows that it's in our nature to be prideful. It's in our nature to think with our ego and about pleasing ourselves and about wanting status and position and respect for ourselves rather than focusing on living to the Lord. And so he's trying to pull back on this pride. He's trying to pull us back and rein us in from that pride. And Paul continues in verses 10 and 11. This is the great equalizer. He says this, "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is one of the few places in the New Testament where Paul talks about a personal faith. We talk about it all the time. As Americans, our individuality is so important. But you don't see a whole lot of individuality in the New Testament. Everything that talks about the church, it says the believers together. The church did this. The believers did this. It's very rare that we talk about one person's personal faith because faith lives itself out best in community. Can you go into the woods and worship God? Absolutely. But we need this. We need this community. We hold each other up. We strengthen one another. We celebrate life's joys together. We grieve together with one another. We learn together. We challenge one another in our beliefs. This community is really necessary, but there comes a day, Paul says, where each one of us will stand before the judgment throne of God. And standing before the judgment seat of God is not a group project. He's not going to ask you, "Well, how did your neighbor do?" It's going to be you and God. And that is a very humbling and clarifying thought. When you want to be prideful towards your neighbor, when you want to say, "Well, I've got this figured out and you should probably figure it out too, but figure it out my way." The idea of standing before the throne of God, a lot of that melts away, doesn't it? I'm not so worried anymore about what my neighbor does or how my neighbor handles certain things. It's a one-on-one thing. And we have to remember that God alone has the insight and authority to judge rightly. We don't have that insight. We don't have that authority. We think we know stuff, but man, there's so much to learn. God is so incredibly complex that for us to even scratch the surface is about all our brains can handle. There are so many facets to who God is that we will never wrap our minds around. And it is He alone who has the insight and ability to judge rightly. And so when you stand in front of a mirror, you don't look in that mirror to see somebody else's reflection. I don't look in the mirror and say, boy, I wonder if Sally's got anything in her teeth this morning. It doesn't work that way. You stand in that mirror to see your own reflection, to see your own face. And Paul says, set the pride off to the side and evaluate your own self, evaluate your own heart before God. When we confuse windows with mirrors, we begin to look through that mirror, we look through that window, and we point fingers. And we say, look what that person's doing. Shame. I can't believe they're doing that. When I grew up in Jenison, if you mowed your lawn on Sunday, boy, would the neighbors talk. Right? Because we just didn't do that. Sunday was a day of rest. You weren't even allowed to go out to eat on Sunday because you might cause somebody else to work. That's a whole other sermon for another day. God calls us to step away from the window, to step away from judgment, to step away from pointing fingers at others. And He calls us to look, to evaluate our heart, to evaluate our own life before Him. And as we start to see who we are before Him, we begin to have the ability to extend that grace to others. So this week, I want you to practice mirror moments. When you're tempted to judge or to critique someone, look in the mirror and say, God, what do I need to see in myself? What do I need to work on? Where do I need to grow and improve? Now, I know that many of you, as you come to church on Sunday and you hear sermons, you go, boy, I wish my neighbor was here to hear this one. Right? We've all done that before. I've done it before. I do it sometimes when I'm writing sermons. Oh, I hope so-and-so is here today. I won't mention any names. Right, but we do that, don't we? We go, oh man, boy, if so-and-so could hear this message, boy, they need this one. And God's saying to us, pick up the mirror. I am fully aware when I'm writing sermons, 99 times I'm preaching to myself because I need to work on this stuff. And I figure if I need to work on it, y'all can probably work on it a little bit too. Right, but He's asking us to pick up the mirror and look at our own hearts. Replace criticism with prayer. Release pride and welcome others the way God has welcomed you. Think about that. One of my favorite songs is that song, Indescribable. And at the end, there's this chorus that says, incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. Man, I get goosebumps just thinking about those words, right? That God knows all of my dirt, all of my failures, all of my mistakes, and He still loves me incredibly. That's powerful stuff. And when we realize that, we begin to let go of our pride and welcome others the way God welcomes us. And Paul says, when you do something, don't do it out of pride. Don't do it because you think you're right. Do it out of conviction to the Lord. Live to the Lord. So the challenge this week. Who's that person that you've been looking at through the window of judgment? Give you a minute to think about that. This week, I want you to pray for them. And don't pray, God, help them to do it the way I want them to do it. Say, God, help me to see them through your eyes. I know that person is made in your image, and you think they're amazing. And you think they're beautiful, and you love them beyond comprehension. Help me to see them that way. Ask God to help you trade the window for a mirror so you can focus on your own heart before Him. Amen? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, for this message from Paul that calls us to take our pride and set it off to the side, to realize that you have given us an incredible gift in your mercy and grace, that you have welcomed us despite our failures and our shortcomings. And God, help us to welcome others in that same way, to share that same love that you've shared to us. God, help us to step away from the window, to look into the mirror, and to ask the hard questions. God, what are you calling? What are you asking of me today? It's in Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.